healthy boys may be more likely to be admitted to hospital with a rare side effect of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine that causes inflammation of the heart than with COVID itself, American researchers have claimed. Their analysis of medical data suggests that boys aged between 12 and 15 with no underlying medical conditions are 4 to 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with vaccine-related myocarditis than ending up in hospital with COVID over a 4-month period. Most children who experienced the rare side effect had symptoms within days of the second shot of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, though a similar side effect is seen with the Moderna jab as well. About 86% of the boys affected required some hospital care, the author said. Sol Faust, professor of pediatric immunology and infectious diseases at the University of Southampton in England, who was not involved in the work, said the findings appear to justify the cautious approach taken on teenage vaccines by the British government's Joint Committee on Vaccines and Immunisation, JCVI. The Joint Committee on Vaccines and Immunisation, JCVI, did not recommend vaccinating healthy 12 to 15-year-olds, but referred the matter to the UK's chief medical officers, who are expected to make a final decision next week. Children aged 12 to 15 who are particularly vulnerable to COVID or who live with an at-risk person are eligible for the vaccine shots. In the latest study, which has yet to be peer-reviewed, Dr. Tracy Hoag at the University of California and colleagues analyzed adverse reactions to COVID vaccines in U.S. children aged 12 to 17 during the first 6 months of 2021. They estimate the rate of myocarditis after 2 shots of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to be 162.2 cases per million for healthy boys aged between 12 and 15, and 94 cases per million for healthy boys aged 16 and 17. The equivalent rates for girls were 13.4 and 13 cases per million, respectively. At current U.S. infection rates, the risk of a healthy adolescent being taken to hospital with COVID in the next 120 days is about 44 per million, they said. How reliable the data is and whether similar numbers could be seen in the United Kingdom if healthy 12 to 15-year-olds are vaccinated are unclear. Vaccine reactions are recorded differently in the United States, and vaccine shots are given at longer time intervals in the United Kingdom. According to the UK medicines regulator, the rate of myocarditis after COVID vaccination is only 6 per million shots of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So far, British children have not been admitted to hospital for COVID in large numbers and may not be at risk of long COVID. While the recent CLOCK study found that up to 14% of children who caught COVID may still have symptoms 15 weeks later, levels of fatigue appear similar to those in children who have not caught the virus. This suggests that children may be spared some of the most debilitating problems seen in adult long COVID. The overwhelming majority of myocarditis appears after the second dose of the vaccine, so offering single shots of the vaccine could protect children while reducing their risk of the side effect even further. While myocarditis after vaccination is exceptionally rare, we may be able to change the first or second doses or combine vaccines differently to avoid the risk at all, once we understand the physiology better, said Professor Faust. On balance, there is no urgency to immunize children from a medical perspective, although if schools are unable to maintain education for the vast majority at all times, the overall balance could shift. If my two teenage children are offered the vaccine by the NHS, my GP wife and I will have no hesitation in allowing them to receive the vaccine. Professor Adam Finn, a member of the Joint Committee on Vaccines and Immunization at the University of Bristol, said, "I stand by the Joint Committee on Vaccine and Immunization advice, which is not to go ahead at this time with vaccinating healthy 12 to 15-year-olds on health outcome risk-benefit grounds, given the current uncertainty, as there is a small but plausible risk that rare harms could turn out to outweigh modest benefits."
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids? That is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, wherein we discuss problems, issues, and relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. All of the answers we stress are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the Prophet and his household, peace be upon them all. Joining us in our studio is our guest speaker and expert, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is a researcher at the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Our topic today is still dealing with communication, and today we want to talk about how to correctly compliment our children. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. So the listeners they remember or they've heard this previous episodes we spoke about the importance of complimenting a child,
right,
and how it plays a massive role in his psyche and his brain and mind. If they haven't, then I would recommend that they do. If they don't, inshallah, today we'll mention points around the same thing that, you know, they couldn't get the idea anyway. When it comes to complimenting a child, we said that one should not fall into either extreme between excess and being excessive. So don't go too much, don't go too little, because sometimes either side is not a good side. So
it must be a balance then, right?
It has to be always a balance in everything in life, especially when it comes to kids. One thing that we need to keep in mind, that when we are complimenting our kids, we should not compliment them for who they are. Rather, we should compliment them for what they do, okay? For example, you don't say to a kid, you are amazing, you are fantastic, right? You say to him, you are fantastic, you're amazing because you're quiet. So he knows why he's being complimented for.
Okay.
Which is a very sensitive, is a very thin line. So sometimes if I compliment you for who you are, you might become an arrogant person, you get a big head, well, okay, you're great, you're fantastic,
you're
this. But for what? You don't know. I'm just generally speaking, you know, giving him a compliment. So it's very important that he understands that when he is being quiet, he's being complimented for that. So next time, what he will do is that he will continue becoming quiet. Mark. You say to him, you're great because you're doing your homework. So he knows doing your homework is a great action. So you don't compliment him for him. Rather, you compliment him for what he achieves, what he does, right? So, for example, you say to him, you were fantastic and you were good and great by considering the feelings of other people or by being kind to other people. So whatever attribute that you want the child to continue on or do, compliment that action itself.
And it will in turn encourage the child to continue doing it.
Exactly. So if you see that the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always in the Quran, he gives rewards for actions that you would do. He doesn't say, well, okay, because you're a mu'min, then you're in heaven. He doesn't say that. Allah always says, for example, be good, be pious, be this, be that. For that, we will give you such and such and such. Right? So then automatically you say, okay, that action, these things I need to do in order for me to be rewarded.
And on that note, we will take a quick break, dear Saeed.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, and we are discussing how to correctly compliment our children. Dear Sayyid, please continue.
So we said the first point was not to thank him or to compliment him for himself or her, rather compliment the action itself. The second point that we want to raise as well is that when you compliment a child, you make sure that you express your acceptance of such an action, that you accept that kind of action. Sometimes in the first one we said, okay, you know, you're fantastic because you're quiet. Now I need to say to him that I value what you do. You say to your child, for example, you know, you're great, you're such a good child because you tell the truth. I love the fact that you tell the truth. So you're expressing the fact that you value that kind of action.
So you affirm
your
actions.
So you actually put it in a word. So you put it in a word. They say, you know what, I value your work. I value what you did. I value that action. And then you put the action that you want. So the child not only knows that he's being complimented, not only he knows that this is a good thing, but it actually gives him the seal of approval from you, which children always seek approval of their parents. As children, that's something that we do. We always want our parents to be happy with us. So we seek that kind of approval. So this is also an important factor that needs to be kept in mind, that when we're trying to compliment our kids, that we show them our acceptance in these actions. Another thing that we need to keep in mind is that we need to show, how should I put the word? Not only that we accept that action, but we're actually surprised by it kind of way. We are amazed by it.
Like,
for example,
give out the feeling that you're impressed that you can even do such a thing, right?
Exactly. So you're saying to, you know what? I'm amazed by the fact that you're always smiling at people. Right? I'm amazed by the fact that you're always saying hi first to people. I'm amazed that you're always washing your hands. So you kind of, not only you've complimented him and his action, not only you've shown your acceptance, but you're going furthermore by showing that you're going a level higher than acceptance. That you are, you know, surprised, amazed, astonished by the action that he did. And when you put these things together, it makes a lot of sense for the child to be doing that action, to continue doing it, and do it even more and more. And then until it becomes a habit, and this is what basically what we need to...
That's the whole goal of this.
That's the whole goal, that we need to make it a habit, that it continues later on by himself without anyone being on his head or trying to tell him what to do, and so on and so forth. And another point that is, you need to express your feelings towards him as well, all right? So, for example, you say to him, I was happy that you were successful. I'm happy that you've done very well in school. I'm happy that you've achieved such and such. So you show expression, like you show how you feel about it. Right. So I was like, okay, the child then is like, okay, if I wanted to make my dad happy, I know how to. I'll just do my homework and then he'll be happy. I will do this and he'll be happy. So sometimes giving them compliments is one thing, but expressing how you feel about the action that they've done makes a big difference.
Oh, so kind of like a guidebook to make your parents happy, but in truth, it is a guidebook to how the parents can make the lives of their children better.
Exactly. Exactly. So children always, like I said, they want to seek the approval of the parents. At the same time, they want to keep their parents happy too. You know, right. No child wants to make his dad or his mom angry and upset.
Of course.
And we've seen this especially with our moms because we've connected more emotionally to them, that if something my mom likes, you see me doing it all the time because I want to make my mom happy.
Of course.
Yeah. Right? So this is, so they will get to this understanding, they will get to this conclusion that I need to do this, it makes them happy, is if we express it to them. And that's how they know that they should do it, because they know it makes us happy.
And on that note, they said we'll take a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Dear listeners, welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You are joining us on our program, Islamic Upbringing. We are speaking about how to correctly compliment our children. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us even further.
Another point that we need to make when it comes to complimenting kids is that you give them a sort of appreciation, right? When they do something. For example, you say to them, you've cleaned your room, you are such a skillful person.
Right.
So you've given him something extra. You've given him, let's say, you know, a certificate of skill. For example, you say, I can see that you put a lot of effort in doing such an action. For example, cleaning your room or putting your books together or putting your toys together in a box.
Right.
And that itself, when you see that you're actually not only complimenting the action, not only putting your emotions to it, not only showing that you're surprised in their action, but that you're actually giving it a value. You're giving it like an actual value.
It also makes them not feel worthless, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes you compliment like, oh, great, fantastic, nice, good job. But that means nothing. But when you actually put a bit of emphasis in that word and you kind of, like I said, you give it a value, you give it a certificate, it makes it much nicer for the child to hear, and then their emotions and their subconscious tries to interact with it. For example, when he plays with his brothers and his siblings, he's like, you know what, you're such a great kid playing with other people or with your kids, right? So.
Right.
You're giving them that kind of approval on top of the fact that it's a valuable action, that you possess such a nice sport personality. You know, even as grown-ups, like when someone gives us these compliments, we fly high.
Especially
right?
If they're like personal. Yeah. They paid attention like, when complimenting us.
Yeah. It's like sometimes like, you know, we even hear the word like, you're such a sport.
Right. Yeah.
Being such a sport is that they're trying to literally say giving you value. That, you know what, you're a sport, that's something that needs to be recognized.
Right.
The same thing with kids. They also need this. So you have to keep in mind that don't use limited words, don't use short words, don't use words just to brush them off, and, you know, just get it over with.
Just a compliment to get it over with.
Yeah. So when you give compliments to kids, it's in fact that you're trying to plant a seed in their heads that in the future will grow and gives the fruits as a tree. That they know the value of an action, they know the value of themselves, they know how much it makes their parents happy, and so on and so forth. So it's not a matter of saying, good on you, well done.
Right.
Now, it goes a bit further than that, that we need to pay more attention to.
Doesn't also, dear Sayyid, help build their self-confidence and self-esteem?
Of course. That's precisely one of the main points out of this complimenting system.
Right. Dear Sayyid, I thank you for this very enlightening discussion, and I thank our dear listeners for joining us. Our time is unfortunately up. If you have any questions, comments, or some suggestions, please contact us at our email, imageradio@irib.ir. You can also visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Until another program, Allah bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
skin's changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
Visitors and staff of a French zoo have been amazed by the surprise birth of two African lion cubs. The babies, a boy and a girl, were born 2 weeks ago in Amnéville Zoo. Their birth was unexpected due to their father's advanced age of 17. The cubs will live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. According to zookeepers, they are currently in good health. The Amnéville Zoo has asked people on social media to name the newborns. The German capital, Berlin, turns colorful as the annual mural festival has brought artists together to display their works around the city. Artists have instilled new life into neighborhoods with giant murals that attracted hundreds of visitors. This year's event was resumed under the motto Home Street Home after its 2020 edition was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organizers say the paintings invite people to discover the city as a gigantic open-air gallery.
The Italian city of Venice has held its annual historical regatta festival, attracting hundreds of spectators. People wearing costumes rowed their colorful boats and gondolas through the city's Grand Canal. The participants reenacted the city's history by carrying people dressed up as the King of Venice and his wife up the canal. Some of the riders also put their strength to the test by racing each other throughout the day. The regatta dates back to the 13th century and has been held every year in September.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters, and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure, therefore we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Birkenen landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Saman Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way. A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saip also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva. One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition, with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go towards conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10 million year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip: what are the secrets of praying the Salah, the prayers, on time as regards to our ubudiyya, our servitude of Allah? So, dear listeners, in the Wasa'il, where we have a quotation from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, we find that he talks about some of the secrets of praying the Salah on time. These daily prayers, these wajib obligatory prayers that we perform as Muslims five times a day are really incredibly important. Of course, in some of the traditions, we find that these daily wajib obligatory prayers are the pillar of Islam. And so, of course, it is the pillar within a building which supports and strengthens that building. And likewise, it keeps that building strong and standing. So this prayer, or as it is known in Arabic as Salah, we were saying that there is a narration from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, where he says, "Whoever performed the obligatory Salah at the beginning of their times and observed their restrictions, the angel would raise them white and pure, raise them to the heavens, and the Salah would say to the performer, 'May Allah preserve you as you preserved me and entrusted me to a generous angel.'" Dear friends, how beautifully we find in this tradition that the performance of the obligatory prayers need to be observed at the beginning of their times. And so just merely praying in it of itself at any time of our convenience is not the best way to go about it. Rather, one should try their best to read these obligatory prayers, these obligatory and wajib salah, at the beginning of their time, as close as possible to the time of the adhan, the time of the call to prayers. And it is this reciting and performing the obligatory salah at the beginning of their time which is a secret in enhancing and increasing our ubudiyah, our servitude of Allah. Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
In an interesting narration states that Yahya alayhi salam, the prophet, used to cry but not laugh. And Isa, peace be upon him, used to cry as well as laugh. And the status of Isa is higher than that of Yahya, according to the narration of the Imam, in that both are required. Indeed, however, when you look at the makeup of the human being, as far as genders are concerned, science today tells us and studies tell us that as far as shedding tears is concerned and crying, this differs between males and females. How? Today we are told that, for example, on average, a male cries 16 times a year for about 3 to 4 minutes every time. Whereas when it comes to females, they shed tears approximately over 30 times a year, and each occasion takes about 6 minutes. That's the first beginning or the difference that we can witness. The second is, people ask, do human beings cry only, or is it that animals shed tears too? This is a subject that some scientists have discussed. For example, Charles Darwin argues that animals also shed tears. He says, I visited London Zoo, and the keepers of the elephants told me that they cry when they're in grief or somehow pain or distress. And he uses this to argue that the animals indeed do shed tears. Yet the realization in the Quran is that it's not only human beings who cry, but many of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In which way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the heavens and the earth cry. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ Allah says that the heavens and the earth do not cry for certain individuals. Likewise, our holy beloved Prophet Rasul al-A'zam Muhammad states that إِذَا مَاتَ الْمُؤْمِنُ When a believer passes away, the earth cries for him and her for 40 mornings. Our seventh Imam says, not only does the earth cry for the believer, the angels cry for the believer, and the place of worship of that particular individual also sheds tears for that period of time. Therefore, this realization is brought forward that this sense or this behavior, this emotional outpouring, is not only confided necessarily to whom? To human beings. In Irshad al-Qulub, there is a very interesting narration that the prophets passed by, some prophets passed by a rock. They saw water emerging from the rock. They were surprised. How can water come out of a rock? They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this? Allah gave the rock the permission to speak. It spoke and said that I am weeping and shedding tears. They asked the rock why. The response was, when we heard the verse which says that the rocks shall be constituents of Jahannam. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah says Jahannam shall be fed with rocks and people, and therefore we cry and weep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then informed the rock that you are safe, that you no longer will be of the people of the rocks in hell. Thereafter they returned and saw the same thing. They wondered what's happening, and they were told by the malaika that crying initially was the crying of fear. Now it's the crying of joy. In other words, we are told that when we come across narrations in Sunni and Shia texts of the fact that the heavens and the rocks and the angels and the animals cried for the grandson of the Holy Prophet, we should not be surprised. It's indeed a Quranic concept and one that is established in Islamic texts.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. In continuation to what we were saying, which was the secrets of praying the Salah on time as regards to our servitude of Allah, our Ubudiyyah. So, dear friends, we find that there was this tradition from the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said that whoever performed the obligatory Salats at the beginning of their time, an angel would raise them white and pure towards the heavens. Now, in continuation to this very tradition, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, but whoever performed the obligatory salah after their times with no excuse and did not observe their restrictions, the same angel would raise them sullied and dark, while the Salah would shout at its performer, you have lost me, may Allah lose you, and may Allah not care for you as you did not care for me. A very powerful second part to this tradition, that if we do not perform our Salah, our obligatory prayers, on their time, and rather we perform them whenever it is convenient for us, and that too without any excuse, without any reason. Oh, I just don't feel like praying right now. Or, oh, I will just pray later. It is these kind of excuses and these kind of unreasonable thoughts which lead a person to be raised sullied and dark by the angel, and the Salah will shout at its performer, you have lost me, may Allah lose you. And so the importance of not only praying on time, but likewise the importance of not delaying our prayers for no good reason, a secret to the ubudiyyah and the servitude of Allah. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. We've been talking about on this program the secrets of praying the Salah, the obligatory prayers, the five daily prayers, on time as regards to our servitude of Allah, our ubudiyya. We quoted in the last two segments a tradition which is found in Al-Wasail, a quote which is from the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said that the performance of the obligatory prayers on their times and observing their restrictions and the conditions which go with it is something which will have us be raised white and pure, and that the Salah will say to the performer, may Allah preserve you as you preserved me. What's really beautiful about this statement first is that the importance, of course, of praying these obligatory prayers on time to the best of our ability. Of course, sometimes there are some reasons which we're not able to, but of course we should try our best to limit these reasons, and we should limit these excuses to the extent possible so that we are able to observe these prayer times at their allotted time. Of course, we were talking about how if there is no good excuse, and really, how good is an excuse, you know? I remember when we used to take road trips at the prescribed times for the Salah, we used to stop the car and stop at some kind of a green area, some kind of a park, and do our prayers. So even in the middle of driving, you can stop, you know, and do your prayers. Of course, not if you're stuck in the middle of a traffic jam. But still, the point is, you know, sometimes we have lame excuses, we have unreasonable excuses, and we have really excuses which are exactly that. It's just an excuse. It's, well, I'll do it later, I don't feel like it, or, you know, I'm feeling lazy. So, to the best of our ability. And if we delay the performance of these prayers for no excuse, then an angel will raise us salid and dark, and the Salah will shout at the prayer, you have lost me, may Allah lose you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
IRIB English Radio.